Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Tonight, I just have a little one message. You know, it's like fun sometimes we have this series and then there's just a little gap. I don't know if that's deliberate or if it's just bad planning, but we have little gaps. No, it's deliberate. You got to have a little break. But it just means that we get just to share something that God has put on my heart and I want to share about tonight. So tonight I want to talk about, and my message is called, God is in control. Take control. Oh, you know, we sing that song. Yeah, no, just me. Okay. You know, God is in total control. And from the beginning of the beginning, God was there and he created the universe and he created time and he created all things. And he has a plan and he has a purpose for us and for the world and for everyone in it. And his will prevail. And it says in Proverbs chapter 19, it says, many are the plans. I'm going to read it. I always do that at start and then I have to read it. Many are the plans in a human heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, we can have all sorts of ideas about what we want to do with our life, but God's call and God's purpose, that's what is truly important. That's what truly matters and that's what will happen. Amen. And I was thinking about this in the last couple of weeks because I was reading in Luke and I've been reading about Jesus because that's what the book of Luke is mostly about. If you didn't know that, that's cool. You can just read it. But there's these two points in Jesus' life, in Luke, where people try and kill him. Okay, the second one we know about, that's when he is crucified on the cross and he dies for us, yeah? But in Luke chapter 4, it says that Jesus comes to Nazareth, back to his hometown. And he goes into the synagogue, which is like the church, the temple. And he teaches in the synagogue, he gets up and he reads this verse from Isaiah. It's in Luke chapter 4 from verse 14. And he says, you know, in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he says this stuff and he talks to these people about how he is the Son of God. And then he says, I can't do the things that I've been doing other places because, you know, a prophet has no honor in his hometown. And it says that the people get furious in verse 28. It says, all the people were furious when they heard him. And they got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Verse 30, but he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And I was thinking about how Jesus' purpose in coming to earth essentially was to die for you and me. But this was not the right time. And so he just walks through the crowd. And how Jesus is there in this situation that it seems got ugly really fast. He was sharing in the temple and he was teaching and he was talking and he was, you know, reading the prophets and saying, this is, I am who Isaiah was talking about. And he's starting to talk to people about who he is, which is like, he didn't do that to every person. He's doing that to these people. And then it just gets ugly and they start to drive him to this cliff edge to push him off the edge of a cliff to kill him. Like, that's pretty extreme. I'm glad we don't live near a cliff because it makes me feel a little bit worried preaching right now. I'm sure you wouldn't do that. But you know what I mean? Like, he's there and he's sharing in the temple and then suddenly everyone's like, let's kill this guy. That's crazy scary. And I don't know if we understand that. Do we read things in the Bible and because they're just written down in a fairly calm way, it doesn't seem like a big deal. But imagine this as like a movie. And imagine the music and the cameras in and it's all steady cam. So it's like all hand, you know what that is? Like the handheld one where it's a little bit shaky. And it's all in close and you can hear all the noise and there's all the grabbing and all this stuff is happening and it's the scary bit in the movie, yeah? Where they push Jesus because they want to kill him. And it says, then Jesus just walks through the crowd and goes on his way. at some point before he gets thrown off the cliff, he just says to himself, this is not the right time or place. I haven't finished what I've come here to do yet, so I'm just going to leave now. That's what it is, yeah? Is that how everybody else's Bible says the same thing? And so he just decides and he just walks away. And I was reading that and just thinking about how God is just in control. And in this situation where it seems like the person with the least control would be Jesus, he is totally in control. And he just walks away. But then come with me to Luke chapter 22. And Jesus is in the garden and he's been praying and he's been with his disciples. And it says, while he was speaking to them, this crowd comes up and Judas was leading them. Judas, who was one of his disciples who betrays him. And he says, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? You know, that's that whole thing. And they come to arrest Jesus. And one of the disciples that says, you know, should we strike with our swords? Should we fight these guys? And he cuts off this guy's ear. And Jesus says, no more of this. And he heals that guy. And then he goes with these guys that have come to arrest him. And I was thinking about how Jesus is this is the same Jesus that just walked away from the people trying to kill him. But instead of saying to this disciple, yeah, let's go for it, it's on right now. Or instead of just walking away again, because obviously he could, because he is Jesus, he has demonstrated that he could do that in the word. You know, instead of that, he says, okay, and he goes with these guys. Yeah. And so Jesus is in total control, but this situation doesn't seem positive for him. And I was thinking about how, you know, the plan that God has and the control that God has is bigger than that. And it is bigger than our immediate circumstance. And it is bigger than what we would see. And these disciples, they were looking at this situation and thinking, I don't understand what's going on. It's out of control. Stuff is happening. I need to do something about this situation. But Jesus just says, no, you know, this is the right time. This is what I came for. And he is in total control in this situation as much as when he walked away from the crowd, yeah? And so God is in control all the time. And Jesus, his whole life was lived in submission to God and lived under God's control and in the right timing and the right places and the right things and everything was under God's control. And so I was like, well, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to us? What does that mean for us, you know? What about me? Because I like to think that I am in control of my life. Am I the only person? Or does everybody like that? You know, we are pretty independent people and we like to be independent. And certainly as a young adult, you know, you're at that point in life, probably a lot of us, where we are totally in control of our own lives, or like to think that we are, yeah? You know, I'm in control of my work, I'm studying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I've got this plan, I've got this plan. We've got control, yeah? So then we are asked to submit to God, and we sing these songs in church like, take control, and God, you have my life. And all of these things, and we say, I'm going to follow Jesus, and we make these statements, but what does that mean to a people who are largely fairly independent, yeah? Like, what does that mean about how I'm thinking, how should I be changing my thinking, how should I be changing my life to reflect the fact that I have said, Jesus, take control of me, yeah? You know, if God created me and he has a plan for me, then how do I engage with his plan and give him control? Because God has control over everything. And I don't want to get into a whole free will predestination issue. I got myself all manner of mixed up this week. Not really, but you know, you can read a lot on that and not get very far. But you know, he created all of us as individuals and with a choice. And that choice is to try and live in our own effort, in our own way, or to submit our lives to his control. you know, to choose to give God control of our lives. And so how do we do that? Why do we do that? You know, if we want to have that thing where God's plan is fulfilled in our life, then how do I give myself to Him and to His control? And what do I need to do that? Yeah, how can I allow God to use me for His purpose and allow Him to take control and actively submit my will to His? You know, just before Jesus is arrested, He goes to God and He says, you know, if it's possible, you know, can't someone else do it? That's what He's saying. It says, take this cup from me, but that's basically what He's saying. You know, He says, yeah, but not my will, but yours be done. And He submits His will to God's. And that's something that we need to do. If we want to be followers of Jesus, then we need to understand that God is in control and that we need to give Him control over our lives. Amen? So how do we do that? How do we give God control? Well, I think there are a few things, three things, Colin, because three is the most spiritual number of points you can have in a message. It's convenient that it also ends up basically at the right amount of time in a message. Yes, anyway. Pack light, that's right. Yeah, just 1 point. That's light. No, how do we give God control? What do we need to learn? I think there are some things that we need to learn. And I want to stress that because it's not a suddenly aha moment, like, you know, I have this cathartic moment where suddenly God is in control of my life. I put up my hand and I pray a prayer and then everything is different in my life. That's not how it works. But we need to learn, we need to train, we need to develop, we need to exercise our ability to give God control in our lives. And we need to learn what that means day to day and learn what that means for our life and learn what that means for the decisions that we make and the people that we spend time with and the jobs that we do and the callings that we follow and all of these things. We need to learn what it means to give God control, amen. And there's a few things that I think we need to learn just simply that I would like to share, if that's okay with you. Good, good. That's good. We're doing way better than Jesus was in Luke chapter 4, so that's good. I'm sure Jesus would preach everybody's socks off and he was the best preacher that ever lived. He preached to thousands of people with no microphone, and none of them had any food. And then when they were hungry, He just gave them food. That's pretty cool. Anyway, we already had food at 4. If you'd like to be part of the setup team, you get M&Ms before we start. Because we like to bribe people to set up the chairs. No, it's not really why. Cool. So what do we need to learn? We need to learn to submit. You know, this is a hard word for us, I think, often submission, and a hard word for people in our culture to get and say, yeah, I'm happy to do that. But we need to learn to be people who can submit to the will of God, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sat down and He cried, and it wasn't easy for Him, but He did it. And He knew what He was facing. He knew what was coming. And He said, not my will, but yours be done, God. And if we want to let God have control of our lives, and we want to give Him that control, and we want to see His plan fulfilled, then we need to learn to submit to what He wants to do. We need to learn that there is actually strength in submission and power in submission. And that it's not about, oh, I am not good enough to figure myself out. I'm not strong enough to have a plan in my own life, but it's no, God, I'm going to take the strength that I have, and it is nothing compared to yours, but I'm going to take what I have and I'm going to put it at your feet, and I'm going to submit to your will. And I'm going to take the dreams that I have and the passions that I have and the interests that I have and all of the things that you have given me, and I'm going to give it back to you, and I'm going to submit it to you, and I'm going to say, God, what do you want to do with it? And there is power in that. We need to know that God is in control and He has a better plan. You know, it's a big question is, why would I do that? Like, why would I submit myself to God? Because He knows better, because He's God. It's obvious, but it seems complicated for us, you know? We want to do it ourselves, but we serve the Creator of the universe who knows all things and understands everything and then loves us and has a plan and a purpose for us. And so why wouldn't I submit to Him? But it means relinquishing control of our own life, you know? Now, God knows what he's doing, yeah? And so we need to submit to him, and we need to learn submission. And I think this comes from just simple little things all the time, you know. Listen to that prompting of the Holy Spirit that tells you to do something. You know, read his word and say, oh, okay, he's saying I should do that, so I'm going to submit that to God's will. You know, when you make decisions, don't just go about your life, but submit it to God and say, God, if this is you, then speak to me. If it's not, tell me not to, and I just won't do it. And sometimes we need to make some difficult choices, and sometimes we just need to make small choices. And the small choices that we make that are submitted to God will make it easier to make the big choices submitted to God. Does that make sense? It's like anything else. We need to learn it. We need to practice. We need to exercise it. And as I exercise submission in the small things, then I can use submission in the bigger things. And it's the same in a church environment in that we need to submit to the leaders that God has placed around us. And that's not always going to be some big thing where you know, a leader says, I need you to do this and I need you to come every single day and get up at 6 a.m. And you know, pray for 3 hours every morning. That's probably not what's going to happen to you. But you know, sometimes we think, oh, if I submit to someone, they'll make outrageous demands on me. But that's not how it works usually. And if they do, then fine. You should probably just do it because they probably have a reason. But it's the small things, and it's actively submitting and saying, I'm going to put my pride aside and I'm going to submit to the people that God has put in my life and put in authority around me. And as I do that, I learn to submit. Is that all right? Are you with me on this? Is this okay? I know that sometimes when we talk about submission and relinquishing control, it's a pretty quiet service. So thank you for agreeing and for being here and being active and leaning in and listening. It's really good. But we need to learn to submit just like Jesus did. And we need to learn to trust. You know, trust that God is in control all the time. You know, not just like allow him control because we trust him. Learn to trust that God has a plan and that he has a purpose all the time. And I don't mean just when things are good, because it's pretty easy to trust when things are going well. But trust even when everything seems to go bad. We need to learn to trust him. You know, just after Jesus is arrested, there's this story about how Peter disowns him. You know, people say that, you know, Jesus is being led away and they're like, oh, weren't you one of the guys that was with him? And he says, no, it wasn't me. You know the story. And I was thinking about how we give Peter this hard rap for denying Jesus. But here's Peter who, you know, he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He had admitted that. He had said that himself. Yeah, he knew that Jesus was in control, but then suddenly God just got arrested in front of him. I think that sometimes we are a bit hard on him. Literally, God just got arrested and he is freaking out. And he doesn't know what's going on. And people are coming and they're accusing him. And he's like, no, it wasn't me, because he doesn't know what to do. Yeah. You know, we need to learn to trust when everything looks like it's going wrong. Peter has come to this point with Jesus where he said, I'm with you all the way, no matter what. I give my life. I want to serve you. And he knows that Jesus is King and God and all of this. And then it suddenly looks like it is all going pear-shaped really quickly in a major way. Yeah? And so he loses this trust and he freaks out a bit. And I think that's probably what most of us would do. But we need to learn to trust God even when everything looks like it's a total disaster, yeah? Because we don't always see what God is seeing and we don't always get what the plan is. And we don't always get what the plan is. You know, often God will show us that, and that's my next one. I won't jump into that. But often We don't understand what's going on, and we're in a situation in our life where we just cannot see how any of this could possibly be good or anything could be what God is wanting to do. But God is in control, and we need to learn to trust Him, amen, to give Him control. And not just give Him control of what we do, but give Him control of our thoughts and our worries and our fears, and say, God, I trust You with everything, and get ourselves and learn to get to that point where we can trust Him. You know, Peter, he makes this mistake and he disowns Jesus, but then after that, he is just full on, goes for it no matter what, and ends up dying for his trust in Jesus because he learned to trust. And it's the same opportunity for us to learn to trust even when everything seems to be going wrong. And that gets into the last one, which is that we need to learn to see. You know, we need to trust God, and often that trust is built by vision, yeah, and by seeing. And knowing that I can give God control means trying to see the way that He sees and letting Him show me a vision and start to see bits of the plan and understand what He is doing and understand what He wants to do for me and get this idea that my life is not just about me, but it is about other people. And my life is not just about, you know, the 80 or 90 years or however long it is that I will live on the planet, but my life is about so many others, and it's about God's will, and it's about His purpose. It's about His great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And when I get that vision and I understand that vision, then we start to realize that we can trust God and we can submit to Him and we can give Him control in our life. And we start to understand that He already has control, yeah? You know, we start to see what He's really doing. You know, Jesus is on the cross, and it's in Luke 23, in verse 39, Jesus is up on the cross and he's got these two criminals next to him who are, you know, being crucified for things that they had done wrong. It says, one of them hurled insults at him and said, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. I was reading this and just thinking about how one of these guys sees what's really going on. And he can submit and trust in Jesus because he doesn't just see Jesus on the cross, but he sees Jesus coming as a king. And he understands. I don't know how this guy understands it, but he understands it. Yeah. And at that point on the cross, he gets it next to Jesus and goes, he has done nothing wrong. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Like, if you don't get it and you don't know who Jesus is, then you're like the other criminal who's saying, why don't you just try and save yourself? If you're God, then save yourself. Whereas the other guy goes, don't you understand? He is not here to save himself. He is here to save us. And somehow this guy just gets it. And he sees the eternal perspective of what is happening right next to him. And he trusts God. And he submits his will to God. And he says, Jesus, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he is saved in that moment because he sees. You know, in Isaiah 55, it's this great passage. And it says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You know, this is just God is saying through Isaiah, I know what I'm doing, and it is higher than anything that you can think. And my ways are beyond you, and my purpose will be achieved. And it says, I will send my word, and it will achieve what I have sent it to do. And that word is Jesus on the cross, dying to save us. And his purpose is fulfilled in Jesus' death and resurrection. And it does not return void because Jesus comes in his kingly power. Amen. He's risen again and we are saved. And because of what Jesus does, we can be that fruit that comes out. And we need to learn to see just a little bit of how God sees and just get a little bit of that eternal perspective. It's hard. It's really hard, I think, because we just can't possibly get it all. But we need to start to see a little bit. If we start to understand that God has something bigger than I can see right now, and I can just glimpse a little bit of it, and I can get a little bit of his vision and a little bit of his purpose, then I can trust him and I can give him control. Amen? Is that all right? Cool. You know, God is in control of everything in our lives, but he gives us this choice, which is amazing, I think. And he wants relationship with us. And it's up to us to choose to submit ourselves to his will, to submit, to trust him, to see and learn how to do that. And so right now, as we close, I want to give an opportunity for all of us just to say, God, I want you to have control of my life again. Maybe you haven't done that before. Maybe you just want to do that in a fresh way. But we want to say, God, take control of my life. I want to give it to you. I want to submit my will to you. I want to trust you. God, maybe there's stuff in our lives that we don't see how it fits in your plan right now, but we want to trust you. You're telling us to do things that are scary or hard or seem odd, but God, we want to trust you. You know, we want to submit to your will. We want to see the vision that you have and be about your plan and purpose and not our own. And so maybe you want to pray that with me. Maybe you want me to pray that over you and you want to just declare, God, take control of my life again. Then maybe just raise your hand while everyone's just got their head bowed, their eyes closed. And let's pray that together. If you just want to say, yeah, God, take control of my life again in just a fresh way. God, I just want you to take control. That's great. God, I thank you for these people with their hands raised and their hearts open to you, God, who really just want to give themselves to you, submit our wills to you. And so, God, we pray that you would take control of our lives. God, that you would have your way, that your purpose would be fulfilled in us, and God, we would be used for your glory and your purpose. God, help us to trust you even when it all seems to be going wrong. Help us to trust you when we can't see what's going on, and God, help us to see better too. What you are doing and see the vision that you have and not the vision that we have. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God, thank you for every person here. God, thank you that you're with us and that you're speaking to us. I pray that your presence would not just, you know, stay here. We know that it doesn't, God, but that we would feel your presence and know that you're with us throughout this week. Before we finish, let's all just pray this prayer together. It'll come up on the screen. We do this every week, so it's a chance just to get right with God and to give him that control again. Cool. So let's just pray. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Sea Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.